All right, Rabbi Osei, good morning. Good morning. Let's begin our Freilich and Zos Chanukah. Actually, I hope to share with you a Zos Chanukah thought a little bit later. But our shir this morning is dedicated by the Luchansky family in memory of Ben Sion's mother, whose yard site it was Ben Sion. Whose yard site is being observed this morning. We dedicate our learning, and as well as the Sufganiot, the breakfast this morning dedicated by the Luchansky family. We dedicate our learning in the Zechus of the Neshama of Chava, Bas Ben Sion, Zichrono Livrecha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, as well as the beautiful spiritual accomplishments of her very special son, Emir Tzah Hashem, her Neshama will have an Aliyah and her family in the Chava. All right, Rabbosei, let's begin. We have an exciting daf today, although every daf is exciting. So we're picking up, today's daf is at Zion 97. We are picking up Tzadik Vav on the base 96B. And we're picking up five lines up from the bottom. Hahu Gavro. Hahu Gavro. So it's an interesting case. So just what we're doing now over here is we're focusing now on the Mesa Machmas Molocha type of motif. So it says the Gemara, Hahu Gavro the Shal Narga Mechavre. There was a man who borrowed an axe from his friend. He borrowed an axe from his friend, and what happens? Itbar. The axe broke. Now, we'll say, you're going to see in just a moment, this case is actually exceptionally halacha l'maisa. So I borrowed an axe from my friend, the axe broke. Also look at me, the rabbi. So he came before rabbi, saying, what's the liability? So Amarle, zil isi sahadi, delo shanis bay, the iftar. So rabbi said, listen, go ahead, bring witnesses that you did not do anything unusual with the axe, and ultimately, again, you will be potter. So also what Rava seems to say is the following, that essentially, halacha lemaisa, if the axe broke just in the normal course of events, meaning I didn't do anything ultimately to go ahead and do anything mishunadik with the axe, and it breaks, then ultimately, again, I will be potter. So Gemara says, that's fine if you have witnesses. However, v'ileka sahadi mai, what happens if there are no witnesses? So meaning what? That's like if a person can furnish witnesses to say that I didn't do anything wrong with the axe. But what if I can't furnish witnesses? Toshma, listen to this case. There was a man who borrowed an axe from his friend, the itbar, and the axe broke. Now Rashi points out over here, the itbar, bipshia. Now we'll see why Rashi adds that in just a little bit. So Rashi says this is a case of negligence. What happens? So he came before Rav. Amarle, zil shlim le narga me'alya. So Rav said, and Rav said, now you'll see, by the way, why this case has major halacha l'maisa ramifications. Because this is ma'isim b'chol yom, where I borrow something from someone, and what happens? The object breaks. Then the shaila becomes, what is my liability vis-a-vis the object? So here, I borrowed an axe from Reuven. The axe broke. I came before Rav. Rav said, I, the borrower, have to give a brand new axe back to the owner. So Rav Kana Rav Asi said to Rav, listen to this exchange. Top of Tzadik Zayin. So listen to this. So Rav Kana and Rav Asi, they disagreed with Rav, but wanted to do so in a respectful fashion. Right? So this is the dialogue of disagreement. There's a way to dialogue and disagree, and dialogue with respect. So Rav Kana Rav Asi, Rav, are you sure that's the halacha? Now, what were they asking? So we'll say, Rav's reaction, b'shasik Rav. Rav was silent. Now, shasik Rav in this context means that Rav was embarrassed that he erred in the halacha. Why? What's the halacha? Take a look at the Tap Rashi. Dinahaki, Tap Rashi, it's Alek Zayin Amud Aleph. Shalim lo kli, asim etuk, and Rabbi say, so what Rav Kahana and Rav Asi were asking was the following. If I borrow an object, and the object breaks, obviously I'm obligated to repay the owner. But am I obligated to furnish the owner with a brand new object? That's generally not assumed to be the halacha. What is the halacha? Look at Rashi. Vatnan, we learned it, Baba Kama. Gabe nizokin tashlume nezek melami chabaylem etaplem benevelo sheshamelo hanavelo shal behem to shemesa al yedeze shezigalo va'alea mosef umishalim demeyen. See, they both say, listen to this. You see, we learned this case. You remember this case? I borrow now an ox, right? I borrow an ox from Reuven. And what happens? The ox dies. Now let's assume for a moment the ox dies as a result of my negligence. Because remember, if it just died of old age, then again, depending on what type of relationship I have to the ox or I have to the owner, I may not be chai. But let's assume for a moment it's pshia. It's negligence. So remember again, if you're the owner of the ox, so imagine the following. Reuven lent me the ox. The ox died because of my negligence. If you are the owner of the ox, what do you want? You want an ox. You want an ox. If you are the borrower, right, or the shomer, what do you want? What I would like to do to be able is the following. Take the carcass. Remember, the carcass has a value also. So you go ahead, take care of the carcass, sell the carcass, and whatever that pot of money is, I will pay you the difference between that amount and the amount of a new ox, or the amount of a living ox. So I'll say, so this is a machlokus in the Gemara as to what the liability of the borrower is. We paskin that the borrower has the right to return the nevela, to return the carcass to the owner. The owner is what we call metapel benevela. The owner has the obligation to sell off the carcass, make back, recapture whatever money he can from the carcass, and then I, the borrower, am obligated to pay the difference between the funds received for the carcass and the value of a new ox. That is the amount of money. I'm supposed to say, this is my sim b'chol yom, because this happens all of the time. Yes.
But we're matriach, the original owner?
Yes. It is the owner's responsibility to deal with the carcass. Yes, that's the incredible novelty here. And I'm supposed to say, you know, these cases come up all of the time, where people borrow stuff, it then breaks, and again, the owner of the object obviously says, I don't want to deal with this, just give me a new object. The halacha says no. The halacha says, now this is all assuming that the broken object has some level of residual value. If the broken object has some level of residual value, the borrower could give back the broken item to the owner. Owner has the obligation to sell off, make back the money from the quote-unquote carcass of the object, and then I, the borrower, have the obligation to make up the difference. So comes along Rav, and Rav says, in this kind of case, Rav obligated the borrower to go ahead and give a brand new axe to the owner. To which Rav Khan Ravasi came along and says, Rav, are you sure that's the halacha? So again, so let's finish the Rashi. Rashi says, over here, yashumu lo shivrei harishon. I told you this was an exciting Gemara. I know you people think I say that all the time. But I'm telling you. See, right? So the Rekhi Rashi says, yashumu lo shivrei harishon. Therefore, again, what happens in this case of the axe? So the owner should have to go ahead, figure out how much the broken axe is worth. Va'alein yeshalim damav. And Avram, this is exactly to your point. Look at the words of Rashi. The Zeh refers to the owner of the axe. Yitrach, he has the tircha, the yikne lo kliacher, to go and buy a new object. So he has a double tircha. Tircha number one is that he's got to sell off, quote unquote, the carcass, the broken axe, plus he has to go now with the pot of money buy himself a new axe. Ve'ochasa. And says, you know, so what's that? So now, interestingly enough, we seem to have a machlokis. On one hand, Rav seeming to say that when the axe breaks, the borrower has to furnish the owner with a brand new axe. And Rav Khan Ravasi saying, no, all he's obligated to do is give him back the broken axe. The owner is obligated to figure out how much a broken axe is worth, whatever that amount of money is. Then the borrower is obligated to pay the difference between the recouped cash and the amount that it takes to buy a new axe. Vilchasa, the halacha is Krav Kahana Kuravasi. Bosid Aloha Vaz Rav Khan Ravasi, the Nahadr Le Tavre, the Aloha is that the borrower gives back the broken axe, Umimale Le Deme Mona. And he has to pay the difference between the value of the broken axe and the amount of money that it would take for the owner of the object to purchase a new axe. I will say that is indeed halacha lemaisa as codified in Shulchan Aruch. This is very important because, again, I can't stress enough, maisa mechol yom. These type of situations happen all the time. Now, of course, remember, anytime you see things like this in halacha, this is in the absence of a stipulated agreement. Meaning, if I go ahead and I lend someone an object, and I tell them, I'm lending this to you, but in the event should something happen that would make you liable for the object, you agree to assume full responsibility and give me a brand new object. Of course, when parties agree on a stipulation like that, that stipulation now becomes the binding rental agreement. Okay, next case. Hu gavra, dishal davla mechabre. We'll say similar type of case. There was a man who borrowed a bucket from his friend. Itbar, the bucket broke. Asla came into Rav Papa, so they came before Rav Papa. Amrle, I see sahadi delo shanis beve iftar. So Rav Papa said, listen, bring witnesses that you did not do anything abnormal with the bucket, and ultimately, again, you will be potter. Now, look at Rashi, the iftar, So also this is interesting. So we've been talking a lot about the concept of Mesamach Mas Malacha. Okay, also Balav Imo. So Mesamach Mas Malacha means an item that, quote unquote, an animal dies, or an object dies, even though in the context of an animal, that dies in the normal course of labor. Now what we're suggesting is Mesamach Mas Malacha also applies to other cases in which an object breaks in its normal course of usage. In other words, what's happening over here is that this individual bar of the bucket is coming for Rapapa. Rapapa essentially says, as long as you could produce witnesses who say that you weren't doing anything abnormal with the bucket, that you were just using it in its normal fashion and it broke, you will be potter for that. So says the Gemara, fine. Ho Gavra, now what's another interesting case? Ho Gavra, the Shoel Shunra Mechabre. Well, listen to this. There was a man who borrowed a cat from his friend. Now, let's call it Reuven and Shimon, right? So Reuven is the owner of the cat. Shimon borrows the cat. Now, why did Shimon borrow a cat? For one simple reason, it's much cheaper than the exterminator. So what happens? So he goes ahead. He's got a mouse problem. So he goes ahead and he borrows a cat in order to take care of his mouse problem. So he says, you know, watch this. This is amazing. Chabur ale achbri v'katluhu. Apparently, the mice band, like they unionized, right? They got together and they ganged up on the cat. Now, in other words, what happened over here is apparently the mouse problem was much bigger than apparently Shimon had realized. They were rats, right? So what happened? They killed the cat. It's like Chagagia, right? They killed the cat. So what happens? So both says, now the Shaila, of course, becomes, remember, Shimon is the borrower of the cat. So the Shaila now is, what is Shimon's liability vis-a-vis Reuven for the cat? This is an amazing case. So watch this. So Yosef Ravashi the Kami Boyle. So this case came before Ravashi. Ravashi was pondering it. And he thought, Ki hai gav namai. So what is the halacha in such a situation like this? Ki mesa machmas malachadami. Meaning, do we call this an animal that died machmas malacha? And just like Rabbi say, if the cow dies machmas malacha when it is plowing the field, as long as, again, we don't look, as long as there was nothing abnormal being done with the cow, meaning as long as the labor was normal for the cow and the cow dies, no, the borrower is potter. So Rabbi say, so do we see the same, good morning David, do we see the same thing over here, that at the end of the day, the cat died machmas malacha, right? The cat died doing its normal work of hunting mice. And okay, but again, because it's machmas malacha, the borrower will be potter. So the Gemara says, oh, lo. Or do we say no? In other words, we'll say, do we say that this is not called machmas malacha? Meaning this is called, again, something abnormal happened over here. The mice ganged up on the cat. And this is not machmas malacha. This is what Avimi of Hagrunya said to Rava. Gavri dinashi katluhu. I will say, it's a very politically incorrect statement. But it's fun. So it says the Gemara, Gavri dinashi katluhu, which means, if you have a case where ultimately women kill men, lodina velodaina. In other words, it is such an improbability for a woman to be able to kill a man. They will say, now what's the chat behind that? Rashi says over here, Dinashi katlu, lo hayo lo lipo biadan. A man should have never been able to be killed by a woman. In other words, the Gemara is operating from the idea that a woman is weaker than a man. So again, how could it be that a man would ever be killed by a woman? So if this case, so to speak, were to happen, literally means lo dina velo daina. In other words, there's no halacha and there are no judges. What does this mean? That Rabbi say, because it is not matsui, because it is not normal, it's not common for a woman to be able to kill a man, therefore, ultimately, again, therefore, it's an abnormality. And because it's an abnormality, again, there would be no halacha to address. And obviously, the Gemara is speaking metaphorically over here. If a woman kills a man, of course, she's going to be subject to capital laws. But what it means over here is, it's considered to be an abnormal case. Now, what Rav Ashi was ultimately saying over here was the following. Rav Ashi is saying that because of this case over here, so too, when the mice kill the cat, that's the equivalent of a woman killing a man. Meaning, it's an abnormal situation. It's not matsui. And therefore, again, we consider it to be a case of mesa machmas malacha. In other words, that we can't take into account this type of case. Therefore, we just assume that the animal died in a regular course of malacha. And therefore, again, the borrower of the cat will not be chayiv because of this. In other words, bottom line is that the borrower of the cat will not be chayiv to go ahead and provide a new cat to the lender, because we will call this a case of mesa machmas malacha. We'll call this a case of where an animal dies in the normal course of performing its activity, and therefore again the borrower will be potter. Ikadar, another version of this was the amri achil ach berituva v'chavol mes. So we'll say in the second version of this case, what happened was the following. What happened was the cat was doing a great job, and it consumed an incredible number of mice. And what happened? V'chavol means it became overheated. So whatever that means, the point is it ate too many mice and it died. Umis. So we'll say, so now the shayla was, now they came before Rav Ashi. Yosef Rav Ashi v'kam ma'ayin ba k'hai gav namai. So they came before Rav Ashi and they said, no, what is the stat, meaning what's the halach in this kind of case? Meaning, do we say this is mesamach mas malacha? Do we say the animal just died in the course of performing its normal activities, and therefore again the bar will be pater? Or do we say there's some type of abnormality over here for which again the bar will be chayiv? Amar le Rav Mordechai Rav Ashi, hachi amar avimi mehagrunya. So Rav Mordechai said to Rav Ashi, this is what avimi of Hagrunya said, gavra denashi katluha. If a man dies as a result of women, I will say in this context, it means something a little bit different. If you take a look at Rashi, dinashi katluha baal beilos harbe umes. If a man engaged in repetitive acts of bia and then he died, so ultimately again, so do we lo dina velo dina. We don't assume that what? We don't assume that his death is a result of the multiple bios. We don't assume that his body became so tired from the multiple bios that he died. So to over here, we don't assume that the cat died because it consumed all of these mice. So we'll say, so bottom line, the halacha seems to be whether the mice ganged up on the cat or whether the cat went ahead and consumed too many mice. Any time that if the cat were to die as a result of the labor for which it was hired, we would call it nesa machmas malacha. We would call it ultimately that it dies in the course of the performance of its hired task, and therefore again the borrower would be potter in such a case. Next, Amar Rava. We'll say there's another fascinating case. Hayman debayla mishal midi mechavre velifta. They both say, if I want to borrow something from someone, but yet I want to be free from all liability. So I want to borrow, but I want to be free from all liability. Watch it. Rabbi Remember, let's go back for just a moment. We've learned already in this entire parak that out of all of the shomim, out of all of the people who have responsibility for objects, that most heightened level of liability is ascribed to a shoel, a borrower. Right? A borrower has complete liability. There's one exception to a borrower's liability, and that is Baal of Imo. If the owner is present with the borrower. Now remember, we've also defined the scope of that. The borrower need not be present the entire duration of the borrowing, but as long as what? As long as the borrower specifically is there at the time of the actual rental agreement, right? Or, again, according to some, the rental agreement and the event, we'll call it. But at least at the rental agreement, that could be Baal of Imo. So listen to what the Gemara says. So Rava says, if you want to be able to borrow something from someone and be freed from all liability, in other words, that you want to create a situation of Baal of Imo, here's what you do. Watch this. So the Gemara says, Ashkayon Maya Dahavi She'ela Babaylam. Excuse me. Neymalei Ashkayon Maya Dahavi She'ela Babaylam. We'll say, what could I do? At the time that I borrow the object, you know what I should do? I should ask the owner of the object for a cup of water. Why? Because if at the time that I'm renting it, he's giving me a cup of water, then what do I say? He is in my service as well. In other words, remember again, we spoke about the paradigmatic case of Baal of Imo brought down in the Mishnah, is where the owner of the object is in my employ at the time that I rent the object itself. That's called Baal of Imo. So therefore, if at the time that I'm about to rent the object, I first ask the owner of the object, can you please give me a cup of water? So what happens? If he gives me that cup of water, he is, quote unquote, in my employ. So that when I subsequently go ahead and borrow the animal from him, what happens? It's Baal of Imo. Should something happen to that animal afterwards, guess what? I'm going to be potter. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, not yet. Now watch this. But if the owner is a bigger Tam Chacham also, he paid closer attention in Daf Yomi than you did. So what happens? Oh, I'm happy to give you a cup of water. But you know what? why don't we first solidify this rental agreement, right? Why don't we first just sign the documents over here? Let's solidify the rental agreement, and then after the rental agreement is solidified, I'm happy to go ahead. And I'm sorry?
The loan agreement, not a rental.
I'm calling it rental. It's really the borrowing agreement. The borrowing agreement. I'm happy to go ahead. It's not, we won't call it a loan, because a loan has a different connotation, a borrowing agreement, because it's an object, not money. So if he's a bigger Talmud Chacham, we'll say, I'm happy to give you the cup of water. Let's just solidify the She'ela. Let's solidify the borrowing agreement, and then I'll be happy to give you the cup of water afterwards. Pretty amazing. So it says the Gemara. Amar Rava, Mikri Didar Diki, I'll say another fascinating case. Mikri Didar Diki, I'll say the Gemara is going to go through a list of people now. Mikri Didar Diki means literally someone who teaches children. Rava says, you're going to see, it's lav davka children. This is the first to a Rebbe, someone who teaches Torah. So Mikri Didar Diki, Shasla, Rashi says Shasla over here, Shasla, is a notea kramim lemechza, someone who goes ahead and plants vineyards and for some part of the crop, some part of the yield of the vineyard. Tavcha is a butcher. Umna is a bloodletter. Safar masa, Rashi says over here, hamisaperes anche irbitisporas, a barber. So all of these individuals, I both say, now the chap over here, Tosas brings this down, Rashi brings this down as well. All of these people were considered to be municipal employees. They worked for the townspeople, right? These were, interesting enough, these were higher positions, which is interesting actually, right? So the teacher, you understand, a public school system, right? So the Rebbe was higher, and by the way, it's not just for children. We're going to see this was for adults also. A Rebbe was considered to be a city employee. Shasla, somebody who took care of the vineyard, city employee. Tavcha, butcher, city employee. Umna, bloodletter, because also remember again, bloodletting was like going to the local clinic. You have to understand, again, in Talmudic medicine, so pretty much the cure for anything and everything was bloodletting. By the way, that's not unique to the Gemara. That was just the widely held medical belief. And then there's the barber. Right? So apparently, again, they had municipal barbers. Right? Again, so interesting. Apparently, anything you needed, right? Anything you needed ultimately, again, for anything you needed for the good of the city ultimately was considered to be a city employee. So we'll say, what's the chap with this? Bekulhun, kulun, be'idna aviretayu, kishe'ila babayelna. So we'll say, watch this. If you were to, now this is really a fascinating halacha. If you were to, so all of these people, when you are a city employee, so we'll say, so essentially, who do you work for? Who do you work for? You work for the people. So watch this. If you were to borrow an animal from any of these individuals, essentially, at the time of the She'ila, these individuals were already considered to be what? To be working for you. Which meant that if you were to borrow an animal from any of these people, and subsequently something were to happen to the animal, would be the halacha? You'd be potter. Why? Because it would satisfy the criteria of Ba'al Avimo. An incredible halacha.
Is that a lot of government employees today? If you borrow from a person that works for the federal government, you're in the same situation, they work for you. They don't work for us.
They don't work for us. I mean, let's be honest. The barber works for me. I got a haircut out of it, right? I don't know. I don't know who they work for. But it's not. So the truth is, we're going to see that ultimately, again, this really referred only to specific people whose services I was a direct beneficiary. Meaning, if you look at the examples over here, I learned Torah from these people. I got a haircut. Meaning, this was direct. These were direct service providers, not like, right, a government employee, of course, you could say, works for us. Anyone who pays taxes, they work, so to speak, for me. But I am not a direct beneficiary of their services.
You have to be working with you, like, borrow a shovel from your
bar. Oh, so good. So, oh, excellent. So much happens when you have Sofganiyot, by the way. I recognize that, like, it must be the jelly flower, caffeine. So, I say, so Yachmiel stumbled on a major machlokus between the Ritva and Rashi. If you look at Rashi, Rashi understands over here, Rashi understands, Kishay, look at Rashi, Kishayla Babylon dummy. Rashi says, Im Shahayo ze bimalachto, Shaal he menu beima ba osa sha, ume sapater. Rashi understands it to literally mean, if I go ahead and I am getting a haircut from the barber, and at the time that he gives me the haircut, I borrow an animal from him, then it's like Ba'al Avimo. The Ritva says that doesn't make any sense. That's obvious. That has nothing to do with municipal employees. That's, of course, if I've hired a barber. Forget, let's say it's in a place where the barber doesn't work for the city. And I've hired a barber, and what? He's giving me a haircut. So he's working for me. I've hired his services. And at the time that he's working for me, I borrow an animal from him. Of course, if something happens to him, I'm covered by Baal Avimo. Therefore, the Ritva says, no. The chiddush over here of this Gemara is that even if he's not giving me a haircut, that's the chab, that municipal employees are always considered to be in the employ of the residents of the city, even if I'm not in that moment directly benefiting from their services. If I borrow an animal from the barber when he's not giving me a haircut, because he works for me, it's still covered under the Torah of Baal Avimo. So Marsha Ivanta, Macholkes Rashi in the Ritva. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbanan, so listen to this. Amar Rabbanan, fine. Amar Rabbanan the Rabba. So we'll say, so the Rabbanan said to Rabba, Shoyl Lan Mar. So let's listen to this. So the rabbi said to Rava, meaning the Rabbanim means over here, the rabbinical students, said to Rava, Rebbe, you work for us. You work for us. Balabatim. Balabatim, right? Hey, so you work for us. Look at Rashi. Shoyl Lan Mar. Look what Rashi says over here. He says, Rabbeinu Nishal Lanum Lemalachtenu, Lomod Lanu Torah. So they said, Rebbe, you work for us, right? In other words, you are hired to us. Your job is to teach Torah. You, so to speak, we have rented your services. Lema lanu Torah, I'm reading Rashi. She yoshev umalameid lanu Torah kalayom, v'nishal mimeno behema umesa niftar. And what they were saying is, Rebbe, to the point is, so they're saying this to Rava. They're saying, Rava, Rebbe, you are essentially in our employ. Which means that if we were to borrow an animal from you and that animal would die, what would happen? What would happen? The Tamidim would be potter under the umbrella of Mesam Machmas Malacha. So we'll say, Rava's a shtickle offended. Balavimo, I'm sorry, thank you, Balavimo. So you can see Rava's a shtickle offended by this. So Amrlei, and understandably so, Amrlei, but not for the reasons you think. Amrlei, laf kue mamonoi kabo isu. What are you trying to do? Take my money? And I was like, what are you trying to accomplish by this? Meaning, why, obviously, even if you're technically right, this seems to be a broad-based application of what is supposed to be a limited concept. So look what Rava says. Adraba, I'm going to tell you just the opposite. Asun shalisun li. Rava says to the Talmidim, it is not I who works for you, but rather, again, it is you who is rented out to me. Now, how is that? Look at Rashi. So actually, before we get to that, Di'ilu ana masay ishtamuti l'chumi mesechta l'mesechta asun lo matziso l'ishtamuti. To which Rava responds, you know why I'm in charge? Because I could choose to one day stop learning this mesechta and go to another mesechta. Right? So because I have the right to choose the subject material, I am the employer and you are the employees. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, Asun Shalisun Li Lemelachti. I am the employee, you are the employee. So why? Shekishani Chafez Lahaskul Mesechta Sacheres, Shotisha Ameni, because if I choose to switch to a different Mesechta, right? Why would I want to choose? Rava says to switch to a different Mesechta? Because I realize that perhaps my knowledge is not as strong in that Mesechta as it is in this Mesechta. I want to switch to that Mesechta because I want to retain it better. Then what's going to happen? Sho'ein Atem Yecholin Limchos Biyadi. You cannot go ahead and object. Cannot go object. So this is interesting, right? So they want to say, so meaning the Talmidim want to say, Rebbe, you work for us, because at the end of the day, apparently, Rava's salary was paid by the municipality, was paid by the city, which makes sense. They're both saying, you know, again, in kehila structures, right? When we had real kehila structures, so remember, the salaries of Rabbanim, Dayanim, teachers, was all paid through the taxes of the kehila, taxes of the city. So they're saying, Rebbe, you work for us. Rava's saying, no, I don't work for you. You work for me. I'm in charge. Why? Because I get to choose the mesechta that we're learning. To which you're supposed to listen to this. Below him, the Gemara says, you're both right. Watch this. Ihu sha'iluhu b'yoma dekalo. We'll say, the Rebbe is considered to be the employee of the Talmidim on yoma dekalo. We'll say, what's yoma dekalo? Look at Rashi. Yoma dekalo kishadar shalafni haregel behilchos haregel tolo matzi l'shtamuti l'milsachrisi. We'll say, the halacha is shloshim yom kodim achag. 30 days before a yomtiv, the halachas, you're supposed to learn the halachas of that particular yomtiv. And the Rebbe doesn't have the right to change the subject material. So if it's 30 days before Purim, right, and the Rebbe wants to get a head start in Hilchos Pesach, he doesn't have a right to do that. So we'll say, therefore, in the 30 days leading up to a Yom Tov, the Rebbe is considered to be an employee to the Talmidim. Why? Because he doesn't have the right to change the subject material. However, inhu sha'ilulei b'shar yomi. But I will say, but other days, other than 30 days before the Yom Tov, then what? Because the Rebbe has the right to decide ultimately again what subject material the Talmidim are going to learn, therefore the Talmidim work for the Rebbe. They're both saying, you understand, by the way, this is not just an academic discussion. This mamish has to do with what this has halakhic ramifications. Because in the days when the Rebbe is an employee to the Talmidim, if the Talmidim were to borrow an animal from the Rebbe, then what? Then the animal were to die, the Talmidim would be potter als balavimo. And vice versa, if it was the Yomi Dekala, we're ultimately, I'm sorry, and then if it were the other days where the Talmidim work for the Rebbe, if the Rebbe were to borrow from them, then ultimately, and the animal were to die, he would be covered by balavimo as well. So it's not just an academic, it's mamish a halachic machlokes. So was it just, you should know, it's mistaber that I work for you. I just want to, right? Why? Very simple. Right? Why? Right. I don't have the right to change mamish from the, right? It's a blot a day. It's a blot a day. Meaning there's no, if I decide I want to go back to brachas, not my choice to make, but it's a schus to work for you. Incredible zechus. I'm sorry? Good. Baruch Hashem, I'm happy to hear that. Good.
He doesn't have to borrow the cow either.
I'm sorry?
He doesn't have to lend the cow either.
Well, of course not. It's just saying if it happens. Again, don't borrow my cow. But again, it's a big schuss to work for all of you. Baruch Hashem. So says the Gemara. Mereimah barchanina ogir kodnaisa bechozoi. So we'll say, so what happens? So Mereimah, take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi says over here, called Naisa Preda. So Mereimar Barchanina went ahead and rented his Preda as a mule. Rented his mule to the people of Bechozoi. Okay. Nafak Lideluye to Una Bahadayu. So what happens? So I will say they're in the midst of finalizing the rental agreement, or as the rental agreement is being finalized. So Mereimar went out. Nafak means went out. Lideluye to Una Bahadayu. Now the way we're going to translate that is, he went to help the people of Bechozoi go ahead and load up the mule. So meaning, they were borrowing Mereimar's mule, and he was going out to help them load up the mule. Pashuba, so the people of Bechozoi were negligent with the mule. Umis, and the mule died. So asa l'kamei du Rava, so they bring the Dintorah before Rava. Listen to this, chayvinu. So Rava said to the people of Bechozoi, you were negligent, and therefore what? And therefore you're going to be chayiv. Watch this, Rabbi say. This is so exciting. I'm really Rabbanu the Rava. So Rabbanu said to Rava, one second. Pshia b'baylami. Rabbi say, now watch this. Remember, we learned this. Remember, we had this discussion a few days ago, which was really a riveting discussion. We know that there's a p'tor of balavimo. So what is that? What is that p'tor? That if, again, the shoal is working with the animal, and the animal dies, now normally a shoal is chayiv for everything, but if the owner is present, then the shoal is going to be patur. So when we discuss the interesting question, what about pshia? What about ultimately, again, if the borrower is negligent with the animal, but the owner is present? Does the p'tur of Baal of Imo cover negligence as well? Now remember, it seems to be, the way we paskin is what? Is that the answer is yes. Baal of Imo exempts the borrower for everything, even negligence. So watch this. So they came before Rav for a din Torah. Rav said to the people of Bechozoi that you're going to be chayiv. Comes along, the Rabbanon to the Rava and say, Rava, I don't understand. Pshia b'baylami. How can you say that the people of Bechozoi are going to be chayiv? I will say, at the time that they were right, at the time of the rental, who was present? Who was present? Mereimar, the owner. Therefore, what? The people of Bechozoi should be pater. Why? Under the patur of Baal of Imo. Ichsif. So we'll say, ultimately, again, Rava became embarrassed. The Sof, because he became embarrassed. Why? Why? Because he made a mistake. You made a mistake on the halacha. The Sof, Igloi Milsa, Dilameser to Unohu Dinafik. But say, then turned out that what? That when Mereimar went out, he did not go out to assist them. He did not go out to assist them. Ultimately, again, with the loading of the animal. Rather, what happened? Rashi's Lamesar, Liros Shlo Yirbo Mamasa. Rather, he went out just to make sure they were not overloading the animal. Because he did not assist with the loading of the animal, therefore what? Therefore, there was no Baal of Imo. Because there was no Baal of Imo, then therefore the people of Bechozoi ultimately, again, will be chayef for the Pshia, and therefore, again, Rava's Psak was correct. So it says, well, let's analyze this. Honey chalaman gamar p'sheba b'aylin potter. That makes sense according to the opinion who says that when you are negligent, that baal of emo even covers negligence. Mishumachi ichsif. That's why Rabbi was embarrassed. Elaman gamar chayiv amay ichsif. Rabbi says, according to the opinion who says, that what? That Baal of Emo does not cover negligence. So why would Rava ultimately again be embarrassed? And as Rabbi say, then Rava's ruling would have been correct. If you hold that the Petor of Baal of Emo does not cover negligence, then Rava's Psak was correct. The people of Bechozai are Chayif, to which the Gemara says, Lo Mifsha Pashuba Ela Ignuve Ignov. Because Rabbi said the case ultimately again was not where the people of Beit Hozai were poshe. They weren't negligent. Rather, what happened? The animal was stolen, and then the animal died kidarka. The animal died of normal causes in the house of the ganav. And they came before, and therefore Rabbi said that was the case. So they came before Rava. Rava said they're chayiv. So again, that's what the rabbis objected to Rava. They said to Rava, this is not a case of Pshia. This was a case that Mereimar was there helping to load up the animal at the time of the rental. Therefore, what? It's Baal of Emo. If it's Baal of Emo, then ultimately again, Beit Chozai should be Potter. To which the Gemara says, oh, then the facts became clear. Then it became clear that what Rava said, no, this wasn't a case of Baal of Emo. In other words, what? Mereimar was not helping them to load the animal. Rather, Mereimar was just standing there just to make sure that the animal was not overloaded. So because it is not a case, ultimately, again, of Baal of Emo, therefore, again, the people of Beit Hozai will, in fact, be chayiv. We'll say Mishnah. Hashola Sapara, Sha'ala. So listen to this case. Hashola Sapara. Somebody borrowed a cow. So listen to this case. The case over here is an interesting one, which is, I rent an animal. But the way we structure the agreement is the following. For half a day, it's a she'ila, and for half a day, it's a skira. Right? Half a day, I'm a shoel, and half a day, I'm a socher. Now, both say, let's assume for a moment right now that a socher has the din like what? Quite closely, a socher has din like who? Like a shomer sachar. Let's assume right now. Which means what, Rabbi say? That for half a day, so right, I bar Reuben's cow on Sunday. And Reuben, here's the deal. Reuben and I agree. From 6 a.m. to 12 a.m. to 12 p.m., I'm going to be a shoel. From 12 p.m. to 6 p.m., I'm going to be a socher. Now you understand, the chiluk between a shoel and a socher is two different levels of liability. Rabbi say, don't ask why. It doesn't make a difference, the why. This is just what it is, okay? Or I borrowed the cow for 2 days. For Sunday, I am a shoel. For Monday, I'm a socher. Or socher achas shachs. Or I borrowed two cows. For cow A, I am a shoel. For cow B, I am a socher. I will say, know where this is going. You know where it's going. It's going somewhere very exciting. And what happens? Umesa, and it dies. They both say, oh, so this is where everything's going to go nuts. What happens? Umesa. The animal dies. They both say, now understand over here. Now, here's going to be the problem. It dies, and there's ambiguity. There's a lot of questions around the death. There's a lot of shilas. I'm not going to get probed too deep. But there's a lot of shilas around the death. They both say, for us, the most important shila is what?
Timing.
When? Now watch this. Hamashil Omer Sheula Mesa Biyom Shaisa Sheula Mesa. Now the owner of the cow says, I'm positive that the cow died, right? Now again, there are three different scenarios. Either, again, Abosai, what are the three different scenarios? Case one is I rented a cow half a day for Sheila, half a day for Schirus. Case two, I rented a cow for 2 days, day one Sheila, day two Schirus. Case three is I rented two cows. One I borrowed. One is a she'ela. One I'm a shoel, and one I'm a socher. The animal dies. So what happens? The owner of the animal says, "I'm sure she'ula mesa that it died in the first half of the day, or b'yom shahaisa she'ula mesa, or it died on the day, the first day when it was she'ula." Now you see why I took my time with Amud Aleph, right? Or Bishah Shahaisa Shu'ula Mesa. Or I'm sure that it died at the time that it was Shu'ula. In other words, we'll say, what the owner of the animal is claiming is what? is at the end of the day, the animal died while it was in a state of she'ela, which is another way of saying that he's saying to the borrower that what? You are chayiv. I don't care what the circumstances are, you are going to be chayiv ultimately again for the animal. Now we'll say, now what do I, the borrower, say? V'halo omer, eni yodea. Now this is an interesting case. I, on the other hand, say that what? That what? I don't know. I don't know. You know what? I went out for a little bit. You know, when I left her, she was fine. She was so happy. She was smiling and she was grazing. Everything looked fantastic. And then I came home, Nebuch, the world turned upside down. Right? So what happened? I came back. She was dead. I was out the whole day. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. So I'll say, by the way, these kind of cases in halacha, you see, where you have competing claims. So that's the case we're used to. This is fascinating because this is going to be the owner of the animal is making a vadai claim. I know, now how he knows is a different discussion, but I know the animal died while it was in the state of she'ela, and the borrower is saying, I don't know. You might be right, but you might not be right. So we'll say, what's the halacha in that case? Chayiv. Halacha in that case is, the borrower is going to be chayiv. Why look at Rashi? This is a simple one. Chayiv, l'shalim, debari v'shema bari adif. We'll say, this is fascinating. When you have, Stephen, you could definitely use this stuff somehow, right? When you have two claims, and you have two claims, right? And one is a certain claim, and one is, that's called the Bari claim, one is the Shema. The Shema claim is going to be possibility. I don't know. I'm not contradicting your claim, but I'm also not affirming your claim. The concept, the principle in Halacha is Bari v'Shema. When you have two competing claims, one is a certain, one is uncertain. The certain claim always wins. So in this, I'm sorry? We're going to talk about it. This is not here. There's not a motzi mechaveiro because there's no contradictory claim. The owner is claiming it died in she'ela. The borrower is not contradicting that claim. You may be right. There's a partial hodah in this. So because of that, bari v'shem bari adif, I, the borrower, have to pay the owner of the animal. Watch this. Hasokhar, I'm going to say, now this is the reverse case. Hasokhar, I'm going to say, in this case over here, I, the borrower, now again, the animal's dead. That's the one thing everybody agrees with. So Hasokhar, Omer, the borrower says, Schura Mesa. The borrower says, no, the animal didn't die while it was in, not between 6 a.m. and 12 p.m., but between 12 p.m. and 6 p.m. when it was a state not of she'ila, but in schira. It was not in the borrowed state, but rather it was in the rented state. Or it didn't die on Sunday when it was a she'ila, it died on Monday when it was schura. Or, b'shah shahaysa schura meisa, v'hala omer eini yodea. This is a reverse case. In this case over here, the borrower is claiming, I know with absolute certainty that the animal died in a state of schirus, in a state of rental, and not in a state of she'ila, not in a state of borrowing. Now, we'll say, now understand, what's the chilik between that? If it died of natural causes, that's the assumption over here. Died of natural causes. If I'm a shoel, then what? I'm chayiv. If I'm a socher, then I am putter. So in this case over here, the borrower is saying, is the animal died in a state of schirus. In a state of schirus. And therefore, again, I am putter. Now, what does the owner of the animal say? Now, in this case over here, the owner of the animal says, I don't know. I do not know when the animal died. So again, I'm both saying, same case, just reversed. So again, in this case, the owner is saying, I'm not contradicting what you're saying, but I also can't affirm what you're saying because I don't know the metzias. So we'll say, what's the halacha in that case? Potter. So we'll say, again, these two cases are the same principle. It's just bari v'shema bari adif. Whenever you have two claims, one certain, one uncertain, the certain claim always wins. I will say, obviously, the shot is going to have to become, how much do you have to prove? Meaning, just saying something doesn't make it a certain claim. We'll talk about the supporting evidence for that claim. But at the end of the day, in this case over here, where the borrower says, I am absolutely certain it died in a state of schirus. And the owner says, I don't know. So the law is on the side of the socher, and the socher will be putter. Now, watch this. Ze omer she'ula v'ze omer schura. Oh, so here's where they begin to butt heads. Right? So in this case over here, what happens? The owner of the animal says, I know for sure the animal died while they were in a state of she'ela. And the borrower says, I know for sure it died in a state of schirus. So what happens? Yishava ha'socher she'schura mesa. Ze, right? So what happens? In this case, obviously, we're going to see that the borrower has to take a shvua, has to take an oath, that ultimately the animal died in a state of schirus. Again, we're going to define all these things in the Gemara. Ze omer eni odea, ve ze omer eni odea. the final case in the Mishnah, both say, let's say again, both say, neither of us know. Neither of us know what happened ultimately. Again, neither of us know what happened to the animal. So both the bar and the lender, we don't know, did it die in Schiros, did it die ultimately in She'ila? What's the aloha? Yachloku. We'll say they split it. Now again, we'll discuss again what Yachloku means as well. So again, and Rashi points out why Yachloku? Kasavar mamon hamuta basafek cholkin. Because again, the Mishnah holds that anytime you have a doubt regarding money, the way we resolve doubts regarding money is how we'll say, split the money. We'll say it's just two, four lines and we're going to stop. Shamis mina. What do we learn from this Mishnah? Listen to this. We'll say what we learn from this Mishnah is that in a general case, if I go ahead and I go over to Reuven, and I say, Reuven, you owe me $1,000. And Reuven says, I don't know. But in other words, maybe I do. I might have borrowed money from you. I just have no recollection of this. What's the halacha? Chayiv. Reuven is going to be chayiv to give me $1,000. As well say, why? Because, again, that's the principle of the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? Bari v'shema, bari adif. Then when you have two claims, one a certain claim, one an uncertain claim, the law sides with the certain claim. Therefore, if I go over to Reuven and say, Reuven, you owe me $1,000, Reuven says, oh, I don't know. Reuven has to pay me? To which the Gemara says, lema, to have it you up to Rav Nachman. Both say this would seem to be a refutation of Rav Nachman. What did Rav Nachman say? Get ready. The Itmar, Manali Biadachavala Omer, any Odeya. If I go over to Reuven and say, Reuven, you owe me $1,000, and Reuven says, I don't know. Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, Amri Chayiv. So we'll say Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda both say Chayiv. Why? Because again, simple principle. Bari Vashema, Bari Adiv. Two claims, one certain, one uncertain. The law sides with the certain claim. Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan, Amri Potter. Ooh. Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan will both say what? Will both say Potter. So look at Rashi. Why Potter? Uki mamona becheskas mare, velo safke mistaken. I will say this goes to Avram's point again, which is what? No. Whenever you have doubt about money, I will say, when it comes to money and there's doubt about ownership, what do you do? Uki mamona becheskas mare means keep the money with the presumed owner. So in the case where I go over to Reuven, and I say, Reuven, you owe me $1,000. And Reuven says, I don't know. So essentially what Rav Nachman will say is, listen, if Reuven doesn't know, and again, all I'm doing is what? Right? I'm making a claim. I'm not supporting that claim in any way, but I'm making a claim. So ultimately, again, Rav Yochanan, Rav Nachman will say in that case, without supporting evidence, leave the money where it is and do not accept, which is another way of saying what? Right? Right, hamotzi mechaver alav araya, which is another way of saying that if you want to extract money from someone, you have to produce proof. A statement is not enough. So I will say, the Mishnah seems to go against Rav Nachman, because our Mishnah seems to indicate that what? That when you make a definitive claim, and the other party just simply says, I don't know, that the law sides with the one who makes a definitive claim. Not like Rav Nachman, to which the Gemara says, Kedam Rav Nachman kegon shiesh esek shivua b'nein. Now I will say, Rav Nachman says that the case would be where there is a six shua. Also, look at Rashi. She is a shubinayim. She is chayiv lo shua v'tana. So, bu eino yachol lishava toha eino dea kamar. We'll say, Rav Nachman's case will be limited to the following situation, where there was a need to take a shavua, but a party was unable to take a shavua. That's where Rav Nachman would say, ultimately, again, you don't have to pay. What is that case? Look at Rashi. Hechi dami esek shavua. We'll say one more line, then we're really going to stop. What's the case of esek shavua? Kid Rava. We'll say, watch this. Top of tzadik ches. Da amar Rava. Get ready for this. Mana li biyadecha. We're going to read this again tomorrow. I'll just read it to you now. Mana li biyadecha. Va'lo omer einocha biyadi ela chamishim. Va'ashar ini yodeya. Oh, we'll say, listen to this case. I go over to Reuven. I say, Reuven, you owe me $1,000. Reuven says, listen, I know that I owe you. I owe you $500. The other $500, I don't know. I did not think that I owed you $1,000. I only thought that I owed you $500. So we'll say, what's the halacha? What's the halacha? Now we'll say, now in the case, see, under normal, this sounds like a lot like what? Like modem makes us. Now understand, we'll say, in a normal case of modem makes us, what's the halacha? I go over to Reuven and say, Reuven, you owe me $1,000. Reuven says, no, I only owe you $500. What's the halacha? What's the halacha? He pays me $500, and he has to take a shvuah, he has to swear on the remaining $500. Now, here's the problem in this case. In this case, he can't swear on the remaining $500. Why can't he swear on the remaining $500? Because he's claiming he doesn't know. So because, see, you could only swear in a case where you make a definitive claim. So if I go over to him and say, you only owe me $1,000. He says, no, I only owe you $500. I do not owe you the other $500. So we say, fine, take a shvua to affirm the fact that you do not owe the other $500. But I will say, in this case over here, Reuven saying, I owe you $500. And what? And what? I don't know about the other $500. Rabbi says you can't administer a shvua then in that kind of case. Meaning a shvua is only taken to affirm a definitive stance. But where there is an I don't know. Rabbi says I don't know about the other $500. There's a shvua. Now watch this. Look at Rashi. Rashi says over here. Actually, it's sheish esek b'shvua. Go to actually Rashi Amud Beis. So we'll say, in a case like this, ultimately, where he can't swear, even Rav Nachman would agree that in a case like this, you have to pay. So let's say, see here the chap over here, under normal circumstances, Rav Nachman would say that's what? Rav Nachman would say, okay, let's take a step back. Okay, let's just try, and then I'm really going to stop. Right? So let's just trace this back. We have a Mishnah that says the following. We have a Mishnah that says, I borrowed an animal from Reuven, and I borrowed it, let's keep it easy. I borrowed it half a day as a Shoel, half a day as a Socher. Animal dies. Reuven, the owner of the animal, claims that the animal died ultimately again when? During a state of Sirus. And I say, I don't know. So what's Talacha Rabbo saying? Talacha is the Mishnah says, I have to pay Reuven for the animal. Right? Why? Because Reuven's claim is definitive. He's a Bari. I'm a Shema. Bari v'Shema, Bari Adif. Fine. The Gemara comes along and just says, by the way, the Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rav Nachman. Right? Why? Because remember, this is already pre-existing machlokas. I go over to Reuven. I say, Reuven, you owe me $1,000. Reuven says, I don't know what you're talking about. So remember again, Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda says Reuven has to pay me. Bari v'shama bari adif. Rav Nachman says Reuven doesn't have to pay me because uki mamani becheskas mare. Leave the money where it's an established place. So our Mishnah clearly doesn't reflect the view of Rav Nachman. To which the Gemara says, no. Our Mishnah could even reflect the view of Rav Nachman. How? Because Rabbi said we're going to be setting it up in a very specific case. Because there is a situation where even Rav Nachman would say that you have to pay under ambiguous circumstances. What's the case where Rav Nachman would say you have to pay under ambiguous circumstances? If I go over to Reuven and I say, Reuven, you owe me $1,000. And Reuven says, no, I only owe you $500. And the other $500 I don't know about. So Rabbi says, so what's going to be that halacha? He has to pay the first $500. Now, under normal circumstances, the way we resolve doubt regarding the second $500 is how? A shvua. But you can't what? You can't take a shvua in this case. Why? Because again, Reuven's not making a definitive claim. So even Rav Nachman will agree that in that kind of case, where Reuven can't take a shvua, the only option will be for him to what? To pay the second $500. As we're going to see tomorrow, Rav Nachman is going to set up our Mishnah in accordance with this kind of case, what we call a sick shvua. These kind of cases where there is liability for an oath, but an oath cannot be taken. And in those cases, the only resolution is going to be payment. We'll see it in Mirat Hashem tomorrow. Shkoya. Say that again.
That would be somewhere in between.
So good. So see, meaning why not go?